Now this is the last, this, the reading that we are on is in the Hebrew month Iyar and 3. This is Iyar 3. This reading now that we're about to do is the prophets for Iyar 2, last week's reading. Now, for your information, what we're doing is we've found the schedule of readings that all Jews did for a 3-year cycle to go through the prophets, the law of the prophets and the writings. And this is what they did at the time of Christ. That's why Christ was with the disciples for 3 years. So the goal of what we're about is to try to, on the same days of the year, on the same time of the year, to conform with the feast days, to conform with the spring seasons of the year, you read these particular scriptures. And we know that they're the same things that Christ studied at this time. And so we think that that's an important way, because this is how Christ studied the scriptures.
It's not a plan.
Habakkuk chapter 2, start in verse 9.
And who was Habakkuk?
Habakkuk was one of the prophets. He was a prophet in Israel. Just before, well, no, that's not right. He was a prophet in the 600 B.C.
Where?
Habakkuk chapter 2. What?
It just sounds like a long time ago.
A long time ago. 600 B.C. Now, again, if we were reading this in Hebrew and in study, it would be, we would see it as the Hebrew language would it wouldn't say that he did this stuff in the past. It would say this is what's happening now. You understand? Hebrew is the only language that doesn't have a past or a future. It only has a now.
Continue.
Yeah.
It just is.
So in a way, again, as we have the great example in the book of Genesis, when we read Genesis 1, instead of saying, and God said, let there be light, it's God is saying, let there be light. So let the light of revelation come forth. Okay? Habakkuk. In verse 9, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetous to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. You have to remember, in order for us to understand, this is the reading that was done during the time of the flood. What's going to happen right after the flood, we're going to have Nimrod being king of the world, and Nimrod is going to try to build a tower that goes high enough so that at least his main people won't get wiped out if another flood comes. Spiritually, he's going to do 3 things, Nimrod. And this is really what Habakkuk is saying to us who have just already experiencing the flood of judgment has overcome us. We have no hope. We are locked into the ark. The ark is Christ. This is the reading for the feast. This is the reading for the time in the ark. It's saying to you, when you get out of the ark, don't do these things like build your nest. Don't try to gain an evil gain into your house. Evil in Hebrew is self-seeking. That's Avon. Don't bring an evil gain into your house to try to don't build this house to try to a high nest so that don't try to protect yourself. Because the act of trying to protect yourself means that the resurrection can't take place, hasn't taken place in you. That's why Jesus said so clearly, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. Any act of self-protection becomes an act of, it's just like you've just destroyed Jesus Christ. Now this is spiritual self-protection. It's the thing that you do and some of you are doing to protect yourself from emotional hurt. It's financial self-protection. It's the idea that When you're a believer out in the world and you say, I've given all my money to God, then you can have $5 million and say, I've given all my money to God. When you're on here and you say, I've given my money to God, it gets tested. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, that's why a group has to happen. Now, these people, we had a five-person television crew. And in private talks with a number of us, they just couldn't believe how we would sort of openly have doors open and stuff all the time and have people, all these homeless people living in the house. Now, it's sort of taken for granted that they're around.
Who's
all the homeless people.
We don't even think of them as separate.
Well, I mean, you understand how weird that looks to somebody coming in as an outsider?
She told me several times, she said she kept having the thought, oh, it's the hippies. It's Haight-Ashbury.
I've never thought about that, but that's true. Yeah, I don't look at them like that.
No, they're just a person. They're just a member of the community. And if you treat people, will treat you as you, from what you expect from them. That just as God, to the froward or to the pushy, God will show himself pushy. To the huffy, God will show himself huffy. To the merciful, God will show himself merciful. But it's also flows. If you show yourself trusting, then people will become trustworthy. You understand? If you show yourself merciful, they will give mercy. It's the thing that happens. It's, you know, I'm sure, you know, I don't care. We had a guy, a homeless guy, come in here, sleep in here, go through everything in this front room, take everything he could carry out in several trips to a cab, take it out and sell it to buy crack cocaine. Well, long story, but he was able to go get everything back and put everything back in here and then pay the money back that we had to pay to get it back. Now, that guy's never going to steal again from us. I mean, he's still around. He's still as wacky as he ever was. But he's probably not going to ever steal again because, I mean, there was a transformation that took place. Now, even with all of the stuff that happened with Gail, she's still blown away because people... Even if it doesn't look like it, she thinks that people trust her. So that's what you have to see, and it's so important, that we are people that have no walls. And we have no walls to protect ourselves, no walls to keep anybody out, or no walls to keep anything in. And that's why we look weird to everybody. We have no rules. There's no ought to's. There's no should's.
The weird thing is, you know, for us, like, we can't imagine living any other way anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, the alternative seems aberrant.
Well, that's what it says. Now, again, remember, this is the reading. They're still locked in the flood. They're being tossed about in the ark, and the ark is just trying to sort of, it's just coming to some leveling. At this time of the reading. We're back still in 9. So we're saying, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Woe to him who wants to be delivered from the power of evil.
What an impossible situation, saying to Noah and these poor people that are in there getting killed for a year, woe to you if you want this thing to rest on a high mountain.
I mean, whoa. No, he's saying that. He's saying to him, woe to you that coveted desire, covetous to your house. Now, but think about it. Now, let's go on. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and has sinned against thy soul. Now, how many people have you cut off in your house since you, your house meeting, this, the word house is your temple, how many people have you cut off because you want to avoid conflict?
Yeah.
I used to be an expert contract negotiator. I negotiated hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts for Teledyne. And the first rule of contract negotiation is you never put anyone in an either-or position. You always give them a way to think something that's going to happen is their idea. And it's oppression and manipulation like you can't believe. And the strong win. The ones that have some facility in that area, which doesn't mean anything. It's just as much BS as being a coke addict. But it's what's admired in the world, in the world system. Now, what you do all these things to avoid conflict. Because now, the opposite is true. I never don't put someone in an either-or position. I always put them in an either-or position. I mean, that's what I see discipleship as. It's always, it's always either-or. It's never gray. It's always black or white. It's always hot or cold. It's never lukewarm. I mean, all of you have seen that. I mean, that's why people say that I'm the last resort. They never talk to me unless they have they've tried every other option. I'm the final solution. Because they know if they're having marital problems, I'll tell them to get a divorce. If they're having problems at their work, mostly, except for Tyra lately, I'll tell her to quit.
Or Daryl.
What?
No, but whatever it is, take it, black or white, so that you don't live in gray at all, whatsoever, in any arena of your life. If there's something you think you want to do, go do it. Don't waste any time thinking about it. But, again, you are afraid mostly to do anything about these things. I mean, you don't do anything about these things because of fear. And so rather than confront something or people or a person that you think is that may arise a conflict, what do? You say, you have consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and has sinned against thy soul. The word cutting off there is the same as murdering. Yeah. How many people? Spiritually, what happens? If you separate yourself from someone, you have murdered them. How many people have you murdered in your life? Millions. You've murdered more people than any mass murderer that's in the federal prisons. Because in your life, it's as though they never existed. And you've always got a great reason for it. Because they didn't. The great reason is they disappointed you, they didn't meet any of your idolatry, they didn't meet any of your expectations, they always were making... You're afraid they were going to make demands on you. They just demanded all your time. There was always conflict when you were around them. That sound familiar? If we abandoned anyone here, then we wouldn't be here. You understand? If we tried to avoid conflict, we couldn't be here. That's why religion... That's why you sit in pews and you dress up and you make sure you don't know anybody that sits around you. If you know them, you only know them a little bit. Because you don't want to be faced with this terrible, terrible thing of having to cut someone off that you say is your brother. So you never get to know them. Now, I want you to visualize something. I want you to visualize cutting off somebody when you're in the ark.
Right.
Impossible.
Hey, you go to your end.
Yeah, you go sleep with the elephants.
You go with the asps.
I mean, if you think about it, a Sabbath day's journey is the length of an ark in many ways. You've cut off many people, but it says you have sinned against your soul by cutting those people off. Why? Because as you give up your life to the Father, but you owe, the debt you owe to the brethren is your soul. You lay down your soul to the brethren, you give up your spirit to God. Understand?
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you are sinning against your soul. Because the only sin is self-realization.
What is the soul?
Well, the spirit is the seed of Christ within you. It's Christ in you, the Holy Spirit. Your soul is the thing that makes you you. It's your mind, your emotions, your persona, the persona of you, and then your body is what's encased. And the soul is what it's the debt you owe to man, to your fellow man. But notice, if you give your spirit up to God, your body's dead, and the soul goes to the neighbor, the brethren. There's nothing left for yourself.
Yeah.
Aha! Now we know a secret. That's why, again, if you ever hear anyone telling you how to something, run from them. Because how to is ministering to your soul. And that's sinning. If you're trying to learn how to do something, it's ministering to your soul.
You're just adding more judgment.
You're adding sin unto sin. You're becoming twice the child of hell that you were to start with. Got it? Alright. You have sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. What does that mean?
Still your house.
Huh?
Still your house.
That's
your
right. And the stone was what?
Foundation.
Stone is Jesus Christ. And it's a witness against all of the timbers in your own house. Now woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. Guess what? There's no difference between iniquity. Well, what does it mean to build a town by blood? What does it mean to build
someone else's
sacrifice
and murder.
Yeah. And to build up this walled city on the blood of the innocents, the people you kill, I kill.
Okay. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Well, that's going to happen. See, the reading happens just before Pentecost. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God on the Feast of Pentecost. The seed of God was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, as spiritual, as in the natural, as what your flesh sees, it's only the waters of judgment that have overtaken you. There's no hope. You're in this ark and being tossed to and fro. You have no options. The promise now is that instead of those waters of judgment, the earth will be covered over with the glory of God. Woe unto him that givest his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Now, he's not talking about getting somebody drunk and taking their clothes off.
That's literal.
Well, let's see what happens. Noah does this in a couple days here.
Say that again?
Noah, what's going to happen to Noah?
Ham and Shem.
Yeah.
Ham is going to get in big trouble in the
middle.
But again, drunk, be not filled with wine, but be ye drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Same thing. Wine is always the wine of Ephraim, or the wine of self-seeking. It's the thing that it's this. You know how you get you just get totally consumed whenever you're into something that really gets you, right? You're going to really do something. You got a really great thing that you're going to do, and it totally consumes your energies. Everything is focused. It's just pure sorcery. Because it's all ministering to self. You're drunk with the wine of self-seeking. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Hear me. You are filled with shame for glory. What you should be calling shame, you call glory. What is it? Self-seeking. Remember, and this is what I'm sure Paul was talking about this. He said, many walk of whom I've told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose glory is their shame. Why? For they mind earthly things, because their God is their appetites. They say that gain is godliness. It's on every page. Now, we're not just talking about gain, those that are out talking about making money as a gain. We're talking about whether it's any kind of gain. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwelleth therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image? And a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Think about it. Think about what that means. The dumb idol. You as the maker of the idol. You think up something in your mind that you want to do, and that becomes the thing that you give all your breath to and you worship, and you made the damn thing up, and now you spend your lifetime worshiping it. It's like going to the church of your choice and being expect to be moved by God.
And you try to get your neighbor to do the same thing.
Your neighbor to do the same thing. And if you get a whole bunch of neighbors to do the same thing, then you're called a church. Well, but you also call a successful salesman.
Evangelist.
Like I said, you got a church.
But you understand?
To one of them says, wait a minute, you chose this. I didn't choose this.
Yeah. But you think it up, and then you put all your energies into it.
Like when the people melted down the gold and made an idol when Moses was.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So you get drink to your neighbor by telling your neighbor, here's how you're going to gain. Here's how you can advance in yourself.
I have this pamphlet, but I'll drink this.
You too.
To your neighbor. But they get really heavy metal poisoning. The Egyptian guys started it. Well, I mean, after they ate all the gold, they sleep.
Don't get your theology from either songs, movies, or Cecil B. DeMille. You understand what this means, and you understand how stupid you've been your entire life. You've thought up stuff in your mind, and then you run around and worshiped it.
Yes, I understand that.
Do any of you not know what I'm talking about? Or else you go to another idol maker. You go hire Zig Ziglar to make your idols for you.
Or let me watch TV and find out what's the in idol issue.
That's right. They all believe they're right. Everybody believes they're worshiping the right God. If you go to Zig Ziglar, he'll take that little thing that you've succeeded in making and he's helped you make, and then he'll put Jesus' name on it. Because it's tomorrow. Therefore, it's not Jesus, it's Tammuz. Understand? Do you understand? It's finished. Rest. The stupidity of your plans, the stupidity of your self-seeking. Give what you have. That's all that's necessary. As you give what's there, life has come forth. It's Stop seeking under any guise. But especially stop worshiping these little things that your mind makes up. It's so little, they're so small, they're so fruitless in the light of the kingdom of the glory of God. And yet you get all bent out of shape over it. You get disappointed. You get your feelings hurt. How poor are you? Are you hearing me? Woe unto him. Listen,
we got woes to
him. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake. Get up. I'm going to make you come to life. I'm going to put these plans together. Hallelujah. It's going to come together and we got to awake.
You dumb stone.
Dead bones,
man. No, that's a whole other world. Doesn't say it. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake. To the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath in it at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Where is his holy temple? And where is all the earth? You are the temple of the living God. Now let this earth keep silent before him. Silence this idiot antichrist that has brought you nothing but misery and confusion and pain and suffering.
It's like all you do is jabber at the idols. You like talk about them, you talk about them, you give breath to them, all constantly. And then it's this, before God, your mouth's just like.
What is the purpose of this law? What is the purpose of the Bible studies? To shut up your mouth. Why? Do you know that, again, those of you who have been here a while know it, but every single time that you think a thought, the throat muscles move. There's no such thing. It's just a thought. It's speech. It's just silent speech. The purpose of the law. The purpose of a Bible study, again, is to pull time out, just a second of time out. You have an atomic bomb. The reason God permitted atomic bombs to be invented and exploded, and the reason he permitted me to be around 16 of them, is to show me what Bible study was like. Pull time out of it. Let the law shut up your mouth. So that there may be silence in the temple. All it needs to be, according to Revelation, if we can have silence in the corporate temple for a space of 1.5 hour, the end shall come. Pretty amazing. Just as Noah now, by his obedience, condemned the world, so we will bring an end of time by our obedience. All right. Now we're going to do the. Okay. Now we're still in Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Anybody know what Shigionoth means?
Nope.
Huh?
Yeah.
Shigionoth is this prayer, when it talks about stuff like that, it means it's sung, but it's sung by, this is almost a Gregorian chant kind of thing. And it's a variable chant. That's what this is.
I have an album of those. I really like Gregorian chants.
That sounds like they're mumbling to me.
Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Now, again, in the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman. Remember, the point of points, that the cardinal points of the compass are vital in our understanding. And it's common knowledge in the ancients, and not modern knowledge. It says, if something's coming from the north, it's Russia.
Yeah.
Gog and Magog are going to come down, Tubal and Meshach are going to...
East of Chicago.
The north is always evil because it's Babylon. That's what comes from the north. It's always and ever in the scripture, the north is evil. The south is mystery.
What direction is Teman again?
South.
South.
Teman means south. It's the Hebrew word south. East is always evil. West is always facing mercy. East is the law, west is mercy. North is evil, south is mystery. Right is moving towards God, left, always evil, moving away from God. And you can't understand the scriptures unless you know a few of these things that were well known back at those times. So God came from the south, from the mystery he's revealed. And the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Think on this. Paran. What's Paran? Anybody remember? You've got great Bible scholars.
I'm not sure I remember it.
Hmm?
I don't remember it.
Yeah. We never studied Paran?
Yes, I'm old.
You're old. And you know.
It used to be the late one.
Man, he quoted a scripture, and it was Jesus slept. Well, God came from Teman. God always comes, mystery meaning unexpected. You understand it? And the Holy One from Mount Paran. Mount Paran was the place where that's the place of the spies. It's this place, it's right there, but it's the place where the spies made their report. And so it's like, that's enough. We could talk all night about that. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light, and had horns coming out of his hand. Horns meaning, the word horns, even when it talks about the horns of the altar, the word can be translated as a horn, either on a cattle, on a bull or something, or a horn on an altar, like a jutting up. Interesting, but it also is always translated, can be translated as this, the ray of light that you see when a cloud parts and you see that strong ray of light coming out in the dark, well, that's a horn. So when it says horns coming out of his hands, it's that light.
Where the flesh was torn.
Where the flesh was torn. So that's why on the day of Pentecost there was 120. It was as if flames of fire separated over each one of them. It was because time was rent for a brief second, and they saw that fire of Olam, that great fire of eternity. That's what we see when we see that. We see the light from the fire every once in a while. You know, it's that timing. Because the fire is always there. It's protecting. It's the flaming swords of the cherubim.
And there was a hiding of his power.
He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. It was the hiding meaning emptying of his power. Christ emptied, though he had all power in heaven and earth delivered over to him, yet he was not a debtor to the flesh. So he emptied himself. Though he were in the form of God, yet he thought not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but emptied himself. That's why the mystery of God is always revealed in the emptying, not in the gathering. Amen? Mm-hmm. Blessed are the poor, the empty in spirit. Before him went the pestilence. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's destroying stuff. Think about it. I was thinking today, how many, you know, I've been doing this walk now for a long time, 18, 19 years. But I thought about all of the times before that that he had put these obstacles in my path, and I've, you know, and I had just obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead. There's a million times when the only response should be, Father, forgive me, and turn from self. Live in that abandonment of self. Always be strength of character and strength of will. We're going to forge on ahead. And so, and the world loves it. The world loves that horse shit.
It ages too.
Yeah. I'm only 23.
It's a real rough 22. Rough 18 years.
A lot of obstacles.
Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. Again, this is in the past tense, notice. The perpetual hills did bow, his ways are everlasting. This is happening now, if we could but see. The world's on fire, if we could see. It's been on fire since it was created. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. Their perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. In the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? Remember, this is the reading now that where we are is we're in this ark and everything's being destroyed, right? Eight people are being saved.
I'm saved from. What did I, am I not missing something? How's that tied in though?
Okay, this is the reading for the readings. This is the reading from the prophets for the time that the same reading for Noah.
No, but
because you're studying this is what's going on now, which means it's what's going on in the body, it's what's going on in the world, and it's what's going on in me and you. Because we're studying.
You know what? When it says to build an altar or to build the temple, the word build is the word bana. And it also means to understand. And we build the temple by understanding it. Mm-hmm. The seven seals of the ark, the ark, they're not going to find any stupid little ark. That's the metaphor that fled. The ark is in the New Jerusalem within the temple. Now, all that has to happen is, for the end to come, is the seven seals of the ark have to be opened, if you study the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation isn't about sometime in the future. That's ludicrous. The book of Revelation is a view from outside of time. John, an angel, grabbed John and said, come, see, behold. As we look now, as we understand, one at a time, those seven seals, the ark is opened. And when the seventh seal is opened, it's over. It's history. It's gone. You see how the interrelationship is from God's standpoint. To understand it is to build it. Yet to understand it is to possess it. We possess all things. We have dominion over all things. That's why we don't pay any attention to money. Money is ludicrous. We don't pay attention to the little plans we might have. I mean, how many little plans have I had since you've known me?
Plenty.
Oh. They just go. I mean, I don't give them any breath. Boy, she's warm.
You come up with ideas to put in the back full of holes.
Yeah. What do you think this Pentecost is?
She's all right.
Bag full of holes.
Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked. The bow is always the power. The power of God was revealed. The bow was made quite naked. According to the oaths of the tribes, even thy words, Selah. You all know what Selah means.
You said the bow was power?
The bow was made quite naked.
Oh.
Boa always means the power.
Well, at the beginning it says his power is hidden, but now all of a sudden it's like...
No, this is your Boa.
Oh.
Your Boa, your power is made naked and revealed as nothing.
Oh, my Boa.
Bad Boa.
Bye.
Body by Boa.
Oh, cool.
Bono's best.
Sila means, can stop and consider this carefully.
Get this bonehead,
in other words. The bow is made quite naked. According to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Sila, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hand on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Think of what happened to 250 million people. Everything was destroyed. But God loves you.
It's like Tally's letter.
But God loves you.
God loves you.
The world again. Not earthquakes and bombs.
Well, everything is going to be destroyed by fire. I mean, but he loves you. God loves the Son. And in whom the Son is chosen, the bride. God doesn't care a diddly squat about the world. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Again, that's what he went. Everything. It's like nothing is for the sake of the world. Nothing.
So let's thresh that one more time.
What
you're saying that God does love the bride and the members of the body?
God
and
loves
not the rest of the world? None.
Well, of course God loves the world. The God loves the world. You know what the world means? Cosmos.
The cosmos, right. The people in the world.
No.
Well, I'm sorry, what was the question?
God loves his son and the bride that his son has chosen.
So if you are a friend of the bride, the best Adam could be is a friend of the bride.
He doesn't love you. He just sort of tolerates you.
He was a friend, but he still died.
Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in rage. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Again, because everything goes back to Genesis 3. He shall bruise the head of the serpent. Bruise is the word which means to overcome. He shall overcome the head of the serpent. That's you. The only thing the serpent can do is cause you to change your walk. I mean, to walk weird. Be at your heel. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he come up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like the hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we've seen this. We know this is taking place. This isn't something that's happened in history or going to happen someday. It's what's happening now inside these high places. The hind feet are the hinds. It's an animal that is a hind. It's like a mountain goat. And his feet, he walks securely and jumps. If you've ever seen a mountain goat climb and run around in the mountains, they just jump, and there's a little teeny latch. I mean, they're just free as birds throughout the...
They should be falling off.
Yeah. Okay.
This really made me want to hear the song.
Yeah.
It's like a, yeah, I can't read
the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive tree shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. My flock shall be cut off. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I think I started in the key of Q.
You know that when we get into arguments with people about there's only one power and evil and all that, we always go to the show of the evil done in the city and I, the Lord, not do it. Nine here is wonderful. Where we started, about you go up to the top of the mountain, try to put your house up there so you can be delivered from the power of evil. And the power of evil we're talking about is God creating the flood.
Now let's do the Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word meaning to hear with understanding. And it calls for the total focusing of your being on what's being said. And before the Torah could be read in this cycle, the Shema had to be read. And if anybody was in a position where they couldn't hear, they would ask the elders, one of the elders would take them outside, but the Shema reading would continue. Okay? What?
Okay, I'm ready.
Nothing. These girls can't sit here anymore.
Well, I'm not sure the Jews didn't have a good idea.
All right, shut up, people, so I can read.
As we said.
Remember, anyone who interrupts Torah, the ancient custom, because again, it was only males that were reading it. That's why Christ said, "Need a man." They got whacked in their peepee.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
No, I'm sorry. But you always
Deuteronomy
got to do
6:4-9, page 213. If you're in New Gideon. Now can I start? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now it's Deuteronomy 11:13-21. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, and thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Numbers 15:37-41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring,
that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Amen. Okay, Genesis 8, verse 15. Or 16, which is it?
15.
Yeah. Do through, it's, did we say through 17 up there? I'm going to change that and make that through 19. No, I won't. Never mind. Never mind.
And God spake unto Moses, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and they that may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth.
At least seven verses, remember.
And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an ark upon the Lord, or unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast in it, and of every clean fowl, and burned burnt offerings on the altar.
Let's stop a minute. I want you to notice that if we accept that we are in an ark, and that as we've studied that Christ is our ark and we are in Christ, and now the ark has landed. It's only landed. The ark can only land in the New Jerusalem, spiritually. What happens now is out of the ark will come every creeping thing, bad things, whatever is there will come out. It's not up to you to judge what comes out of the ark. Do you understand? Everything, every creature shall come out of the ark. You think you take and make yourself the judge, the God, your own divinity, so you judge what should come out of the ark. It's no longer your business. That's the freedom of Christ. Now this is what will drive Pharisees crazy.
Amen. Oh. I'm at this walking around and I'm driving around in the car. And I'll go past these religious stations and somebody's always screaming about, you know, what's going to be our cause today. It's just amazing that, I mean, it's a caricature.
Now, notice in verse 20, and Noah builded an altar. Now, the word builded is what I said. Noah understood the altar. There's only been one altar, ever. There's only is one altar. Now, he understood this altar. And he understood the sacrifice. In order to understand the altar, you have to see Jesus.
I'm dealing with this death thing, I was in the emergency room the other day, and I saw somebody going into the family room, which basically means someone died. And there was this chaplain from the hospital walking along behind that person, you know, being kind of obsolete.
He's doing the chaplain thing.
Doing that chaplain thing. And I mean, it was a caricature, you know. I mean, it was somebody that didn't really understand. Didn't know the people. Might have empathized maybe a tenth of what they were going through. They were walking along behind that person, and it was like a cartoon, you know. I mean, you could see the people hurting, but those people were so far removed from it that they might as well not have been there.
Amen.
Is the altar like the cross?
The altar is the place of death. Mizpah. It's the slaughter place. It's like all these people that build a little prayer altars in their houses. All right.
And the Lord smelled sweet savor, and the And the Lord said in his heart, I will not.
Now stop a minute. He smelled a sweet savor because it had to be the sweet savor offerings. He smelled the offerings, which were, he smelled the burnt offering. The burnt offering meant that it was, he saw the completed work of Christ. Otherwise, he couldn't have seen this or smelled the sweet savor. You understand? These are technical terms. Doesn't matter. People remember, well, the sweet savor, he did this and this. You don't care what people, technically, by the law, a sweet savor offering is a type of the offering. It's not something that they just can, oh, it smells good. It's, you understand? So I run into you that know the law. Huh?
Yeah.
Burning portion sure, it stinks.
Okay.
And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done.
Read the next.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and night, and day and night shall not cease.
Okay, read, who's the next one?
God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein.
Number six, we talk about the being created in the image of God as a container for him, right?
Right. The word image is thelem. It's the same word that you would use to say the glove is an image of a hand.
But I don't get the correlation between whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You know, I mean, is that a corollary to that or a
no.
companion meaning to it?
No. Remember, there are no punctuation.
Is for in the image of God made he man, is that, does that have anything to do with the line that precedes it?
No.
Immediately? Okay.
Okay. Read.
And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed, with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud.
Go ahead and finish. 3:17. What verse are you?
15.
Yeah, just two more verses.
And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth.
Okay.
Let's just for to make sure we do it before we study anything else. Let's go and read Isaiah 42. Remember, in when you read, when a person reads, a reader reads in the Torah, they have to read at least 7 verses. When you read in the Haftarah, the prophets, you have to read at least 21 verses.
Okay? Oh, so you should start. Right.
That's why that process is done. So we have to make a determination about it. Sometimes you only see one verse listed. And you have to decide whether it's.
That's cool.
This has got to start with one.
Yeah, what we'll do is just read the whole of Isaiah 42. Now again, remember, we're just coming out of the ark. We've just experienced the destruction of the ark. We've just now Noah built it or understood the altar. The idea he understood the altar, he placed himself on the altar as a living sacrifice. Now, this is what we see. This is what our eyes should see, what Noah should have seen. As we opened, okay?
Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, to the light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
No, it means everybody has to
just 7.
Yeah, no. It doesn't mean just 7 is enough. It doesn't mean we have to read it. We as a body have to read it.
I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is in therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once.
I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, and say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind that he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Saying many things, but thou observest not, opening the ear, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
I mean, we'll study this stuff on Sunday, probably, everything we read in that.
But let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. I'll talk about that in a minute. The sweet savor is a technical term for a class of offerings in the book of Leviticus. No, just 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There is no, in all of the sweet savor offerings, had as their component burning flesh. Now, I want you to remember what that smells like. Now, go to verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The fragrance of his knowledge is made manifest by us in every place. Understand that? And it's, we always triumph. It makes absolutely no difference whether anything happens the way you want it to. You understand? There's no such thing as failure. You can do nothing against truth. We always triumph. Now watch. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, because we contain Christ and he is the burnt offering. That is the sweet savor that God sees and knows and smells. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Same thing. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now the word, to corrupt the word there, again, do you remember what that means? It means to add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. It means that you try to attract flesh to the word of God.
And the only way you can do that is water it down and take the cross out of the equation.
That's right.
Try to change the smell.
So when this sweet savor, when God smelled the sweet savor, he smelled you and I, even at the altar that Noah built, because he smelled Christ. As he is in the world, so are we. Well, okay, listen, I'm not feeling too good here, so. Thinking these things. Stop judging yourselves. It's not your business. You've been bought with a price. Give whatever is there without regard to what it looks like to you. Whether it's a creepy, crawly thing or what, give it. The lessons, there's so many lessons, but don't try to protect yourself. Don't fear. Don't fear what they fear.
Did you say take a big
guy? Take a big guy.